This is a production from the Whitfield Media Group. Hello and welcome to Chattanooga Fitness Expo Download. This is a podcast about health, fitness, and bodybuilding. You'll hear from many great guests and a lot of great conversations. This podcast began in conjunction with the 2020 Chattanooga Fitness Expo at the Tivoli Theater in Chattanooga, Tennessee. However, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we've had to reschedule the Chattanooga Fitness Expo for June 2021 at the Tivoli Theater. More information to come about our event at a later date. And now, let's get started with download number 9. I am Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group, and joining me is Chattanooga's very own IFBB pro bodybuilder, Matt Davis. Hello, Matt.
What's up? It's great to be here. Number 9.
Yeah.
Goes by fast.
It does. Download number 9, and we're looking forward to another great podcast. And again, we want to thank everyone out there for joining us. Since the last time you and I were in the studio, we've had the Tennessee State Bodybuilding Championship.
That's right.
And I didn't make it to the night show. Did you make it to the night show?
I did not. We had some family stuff. So
I know you and I were both at prejudging, and I was very impressed.
It went off very well. I've told everybody, like, I can't imagine that it, under the circumstances, they could have put it on any better, and had a great crowd, had a great lineup. It was really, really nice.
Well, I was a little apprehensive, wondering, okay, how well is this show going to be as far as the venue, being at the Chattanooga Convention Center? You know, most of the time you're seeing bodybuilding competitions and fitness shows in theaters. And but being at the Chattanooga Convention Center, I thought they did it was very well done, very well organized, you know, following all the protocols of social distancing and all the things that is to be expected going through the pandemic that we are. And so Alan Sizemore and the folks with the NPC, they did a great job, a great lineup. I would say maybe 400 people were at prejudging.
That would be my guess.
Be your estimate.
There.
Yeah. It's always tough gauging the amount of people in a crowd, but based on what we knew, being they had 500 seats set up, it was a pretty good estimate to figure on that.
And you know what? I would call that a normal crowd for a prejudging at a show like that. So, you know, I think people were excited to come out and see something, and the contestants did not disappoint. I have to say that too. It wasn't one of these situations where Alan kind of pushed through to have a show no matter what, and nobody was ready and nobody showed up. It was very competitive and very high level.
Now, did you know the competitor that won the overall?
I did not. I had seen him, you know, on Instagram and stuff as one of, I knew he would be one of the contenders. You know, so it was interesting to see him up close live and in person, and you know, how he matched up with the other people. But, you know, but very well deserved. I mean, he was really kind of had the total package. So that's what you look for.
I think anybody that is in the Chattanooga area, you know, you're always pulling for the local guy, the hometown guy, especially if you know that person. And we had Bo Weiss here on the Fitness Expo Download couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a lot of folks out there that was pulling for him, but he came in a close second.
You know, and I left the prejudging that morning. I think I told you, I said, you know, Bo's going to win. And that was another, you know, I had some previous obligations nonetheless, but I didn't feel like I was going to miss anything at the night show. I was fairly confident in that. But that goes to show you, because that's one thing we did not get to see at the prejudging, where those two guys standing side by side. And, you know, so when you put people together, you know, it's, and honestly, the pictures I saw and everything, it had to be really close. And, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes it could go either way. And anybody that's done this sport for very long knows that, you know, you're going to take more licks on the chin than you give. And that's just part of it, you know. And, you know, I can't remember his name, but that kid came in and looked absolutely spectacular. And, you know, he had some things that maybe what Bo didn't have. Bo had some things that he didn't have, and the judges on that day, you know, went with him. So that's how it goes, and that's a sport. I don't think anybody at all can say anything negative. He's very well deserved.
Wouldn't you say that most of the competitors in the bodybuilding and fitness and bikini competition from Chattanooga did pretty well?
Oh, overall, top to bottom, yeah. And, you know, we also had Jim Pickett on a couple ago, and he did very well as the athletes that he brought from his gym, Agogie House of Iron. And so, they, you know, I was impressed with from top to bottom.
Jim kind of had a crew.
Oh, yeah, absolutely did. Yeah, he alluded to that, and I kind of knew that he did.
Yeah.
They definitely took home a bunch of hardware. Yeah. And I, you know, knowing Jim like I do, I knew he would show up really ready to go, and he didn't disappoint. You know,
they have several ladies down there that are in competition.
They did. I think they all did quite well also. So it's, it's a really good day for them.
Have you talked to Jim since the competition?
Oh, yeah. So I actually went and worked out at his place.
Oh, you did?
Maybe the week after that, you know, so it was good to see him and catch up. And I think he's getting ready for a show. Maybe not this Saturday, but next. And I think there may be even a national show on the horizon after that. So, you know, he's,
is he trying to convince you to join him?
No, I mean, I would love to, I actually didn't ask him which national show he's doing. That would be something I would be interested in going to watch.
Yeah.
Cause that's, you know, at that level, it's always fun. And I think he has the potential to do very well. And so it's always fun to be there when your friends, you know, are doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. But, that's great to see, folks from Chattanooga get involved in the sport of bodybuilding and fitness. And, especially when they, are doing a good job with creating and building their own gym there in the Hickson area.
Right. And you know, one thing that I'm having a blast with is kind of the return of the camaraderie. And I think with this show, we've had a little bit of hand in that, you know, kind of not only us getting to know some of these guys, but the bodybuilding community is kind of getting reintroduced to guys like Tony McKinney and Jim Pickett and Chuck Carter, and you know, there's a lot more talk about these guys. And I know we've all talked about amongst ourselves, you know, hey, let's get together for a workout, let's do this, let's do that. And I've reconnected with, you know, several of them. Like I said, I went to train with Jim at his place, and Darren Johnson and I are back. I know we plan to have him on the show at some point, and you know, he's a key player in the Chattanooga bodybuilding evolution. And I've talked to Tony McKinney. So it's our bodybuilding community is drawing closer together.
Alive and well.
Yeah, and we're all cheering for each other. So I think, you know, hopefully we're accomplishing what we set out to do and kind of creating this hometown allegiance that we have for Chattanooga bodybuilding.
Now, when you went to work out at the gym where Jim is at, did you work out with him?
But he was actually taking that day off because it was, I think he normally takes a full week off after a show.
Yeah.
So he wasn't quite ready. So we did get to talk for a while, and he was working with some other people while I trained. And I
didn't know if y'all tried to kill each other.
We didn't quite get back to that yet. That's definitely that's definitely on the plans
in the future
at some point. Yeah.
Darren Johnson, you mentioned, he's, I guess, what, visiting back here in Chattanooga?
He's at least here, I think, for the rest of the year from Costa Rica. So
a lot of those out there may be listening familiar with Darren or know Darren personally. He's a guy that I remember back in the early 90s. He was beginning his career in bodybuilding.
Right.
So he's been at it for several decades now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but my gut tells me he's probably not done. I know we've trained together a handful of times the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, he might be getting ready for a show. He may never do another show. That doesn't change the way he approaches his training whatsoever.
Well, I follow him on Instagram, And he is very active on Instagram.
Yes.
He posts a lot of videos of him working out. And I'm beginning to think that that's all he does.
Oh, for sure.
It's not necessarily not, and I don't mean that by posting on Instagram all the time. I'm meaning that's all he does is he gets to work out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's one of the beautiful things if, you know, for those of us that have been fortunate enough to do this for a living as well as, you know, you have a spare 30 minutes here or, you know, 15 minutes there. If there's something you didn't get to fit in or something you want to do, you know, you can go knock it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Like I say, he's been at it forever. He's in his early 50s, I would say. He's
that's
about
right.
My age.
That's right. Y'all are real close.
Yeah. So we'll be talking with him. And we've got some ideas and plans of a lot of other very familiar names here in the East Tennessee area. And we'll venture out in other parts of the state, in Georgia, Tennessee, and maybe even get down in Alabama and invite some of the competition from those areas to come on and join us here on Chattanooga Fitness Expo Download. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about several things, but before we get into some of these different topics, what are your plans as far as in your career of bodybuilding? Do you plan to compete anytime in the near future?
That's a good question. You know, this year has been easy to talk about because there hadn't been any shows. So,
yeah.
You know, I've probably said this multiple times. People that know me know that my all-time person I've kind of patterned my athletic career after is Michael Jordan. And, you know, I'll never forget he retired from basketball in 1993.
Are you going to have the dance
and
in the near future?
Well, maybe so. But
I remember Michael Jordan.
I remember seeing an interview and they said, "Are you ever coming back?" And he said, "I'm 99.9% sure I'm not coming back." And he came back twice. He retired two more times. And I don't know. So that's what I tell people. I'm 99.9% sure that I'm not doing a show in the near future. But, you know, I'll never close that door. But at the same time, I mean, I'm having a blast training and following the eating. I'm probably the most regimented I've ever been in my life, show or no show, you know, this year. You know, and part of that's from you know, health, you know, considerations with everything that's going on and trying to be as strong and build the immune system. And I've done a lot of blood work. I've reached out and talked to and worked with a handful of other doctors, you know, some of which maybe we'll have on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've just really getting into
maybe a little more focused.
Yeah. It's, you know, and that's probably part of getting older, but probably, you know, also
I can definitely tell you it's part of getting older. I can relate to some of that.
It's kind of the next challenge on the table, you know, of, okay, I'll be 45 this week, you know, and at 45, you know, am I capable of having a physique comparable to when I was 35 or 40? And then, you know, where am I going to be at 50 compared to 40 or 30? And so that's kind of my new challenge. And, you know, we all make accommodations as we get older, but that just because things have to be different doesn't mean you're innately going to have to be worse. You just have to figure out, you know, new strategies, you know, for the journey.
Well, one show that I do know you're going to be in, unless you tell me, no, Sean, I'm not doing it, is June 2021 at the Chattanooga Fitness Expo.
Correct. Well, I'll be the guest poser, so I won't be eligible to compete.
Yeah, we don't want to mislead anybody out there that they're actually going to have to compete against you.
I was obviously excited about doing that this year, and you know, my excitement has not waned at all. So I still, you know, go every day and know that I'm going to have to get back on the Chattanooga stage. And Chattanooga stage, you know, I prioritize that more than as much as any other competition I would do, because that's friends, family, everybody I know, reputation, you know, everything's really on the line getting in front of hometown. So,
yeah.
That excites me to prepare, you know, as much as anything.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We've got a lot more Chattanooga Fitness Expo to come in just a moment. Stay with us.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right into the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Pennzoil Racing Radio on Rock 105, presented by Vascular Institute of Chattanooga. Also, check out PennzoilRacingRadio.com, built by Avalon Design Studio, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Welcome back. I am Sean Whitfield along with Matt Davis, and you are listening to Chattanooga Fitness Expo Download, download number 9. All right. I want to talk to Matt a little bit about some of the things that he deals with every day in his business at the train station, and that is working and educating people on health and nutrition. And certainly he is known for training a lot of people that are getting ready for a bodybuilding competition, fitness competition, and so on. And recently I heard you joining Ed Jones on the Holistic Navigator and talking about several topics that I'd like to also discuss with you. And the first thing is something that I think none of us really think much about. We kind of take for granted. It's just part of life. And that is the term breathing.
Yes. And as I did on the Holistic Navigator, that I put that number one. And, you know, the reasoning before that for putting it number one is that can influence everything else that you do. You know, and it can also hinder everything else you do. So if you're breathing correctly and conducively to sleeping, eating, and training, it can be a big benefit learning how to do that. And if you're breathing in a way that maybe, you know, you feel like you're swimming upstream, it'll make all of those things a little bit tougher.
How do you, when you're talking to someone that you're training about their breathing, how do you describe it? How do you describe to them that they should be breathing?
I think the first step is just be conscious of it. You know, I think most of us, and Lord knows I spent so many years not knowing and being unconscious about it. But, you know, there's a lot of science you could dive deep into. But the bottom line is, you know, while you're training, you're looking for a stimulus from the exercise. And how you breathe can influence that tremendously. A lot of us, you know, we say you're going to do a set of 12. A lot of times you get 5, 6, 7, 8 reps deep, things are okay. And then your body starts to panic. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I try to teach people is to try to keep your breathing consistent. And it will keep your nervous system in a place where that set of 12 might turn into a set of 13, 14, 15. If you can keep the rest of your body from going into that panic mode where, you know, you see a lot of people and they might be doing a chest press and then their legs start moving all over the place and they start hyperventilating as a, you know, that type of breathing, and their whole body is freaking out. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do is to help them, you know, teach techniques to kind of channel that energy. Hey, let's focus on the pecs or whatever the target is, and let's put all our energy into that. And, you know, if you could add a rep, say even if you had one really, really great rep to the end of every set, over time, that's significant. So that's just one example of how it can impact from a training perspective.
And you would it be fair to say that breathing is a basic fundamental that's so important when it comes to health and exercise?
Oh, without a doubt. And I'm certainly not going to claim to be a total expert on that, but I try to take from some of the experts I've learned and apply it, you know, to some of the simple things. And I look at things too of, you know, breathing is low hanging fruit. It's not going to cost you any money. You know, it's not some elaborate supplement. It's just something that takes a little bit of time. And like I said, just mostly consciousness of how to do it and then practice. One thing I use a lot is return on investment with whatever you're doing, and breathing, that's huge because it really doesn't cost you anything. Mm-hmm. So if you get anything out of it, it's worth it.
Let's talk a little bit about sleep. We all know that's pretty important, but just how important is it?
Well, that's where all the magic happens. So if you think about, especially if you're training for bodybuilding and trying to hypertrophy your muscles and make them bigger and more developed, the name of the game is recovery. So, you know, kind of that old misnomer that you're going in the gym and you're going to grow and get big. Well, actually, that doesn't happen in the gym. The only thing you're doing in the gym is to create the stimulus. And that's, you know, a very small part of it. So if you can effectively create the stimulus and then recover from that very well and hopefully very quickly, then you can create the stimulus again. And it's really that process that, where you're going to see the progress.
Another topic that I've heard you speak of, and I think there's probably a lot of folks out there that have a lot of misperceptions about, and that is insulin and being insulin resistant. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So I tell people that's the king hormone of everything. If the insulin, it will impact almost every other thing. I mean, it, in men, it can drive estrogen up, which will drive testosterone down. It's what makes you fat. It's what makes you not gain muscle. There's a host of it. It's so far reaching into literally every aspect of what we try to do. So it makes sense to really address it and put a lot of emphasis and effort on it. And so when we talk about insulin sensitivity or insulin resistance, it's basically when you eat food or particularly carbohydrates, your body's going to secrete insulin to shuttle the nutrients to where they need to go. If imagine if you have a salesman come to knock on your door and you're not going to open it no matter what. So you're salesman resistant. Mm-hmm. You're not opening that door for nothing. So when the cells in your body get that way for the insulin, the nutrients aren't coming in, and then they're going to go somewhere. And what's happening, they're going to go back to the bloodstream and they're going to hang out, and you're going to have high blood sugar. And then there's an avalanche of bad health effects that are going to come from that. And one, as far as we're concerned, as body composition is, it's going to go to the fat cells.
And it can have major effects with cardiovascular disease too.
It's probably the top risk factor in that. It's the, Alzheimer's, which they're now calling type 3 diabetes. There's a great book that just came out by an author named Benjamin Bickman. He's a PhD, and it's called Why We Get Sick. And the entire book, that might be one of the best books I would recommend for anybody interested in not only improving their health, but if you can improve your insulin status, it makes gaining muscle and losing fat, things work like they should. So that's probably what I talk about the most when I talk about nutrition related stuff.
So if someone's out there listening and they're thinking, I've got COVID-15, which is the old joke that often is played upon. I've put on 15 pounds during this pandemic and I want to start losing weight, and maybe they think they got to starve themselves or they got to go on this low fat diet or some sort of special diet. It's a lot more than just that, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And the reducing calories for a diet is only a very short-term solution to somebody's problems. And, you look at organizations, I know Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, all these big weight loss, which are basically calorie control approaches, they rate them on an annual scale if they're successful or not successful. Now, if you rate them on a 30-day scale, they're going to look extremely successful, but you rate them on a 12-month scale, it's a little bit different story, because what typically people do is reduce their calories, lose a bunch of weight, their body makes all type of adjustments, and they don't lose weight anymore. And then oftentimes they start putting it back on, and sooner or later you're going to be tired of starving to death, more or less, and you're going to start eating more, and now you're in worse shape than when you started, because your things like thyroid and all the other hormones are running to the ground. So you actually start putting, a lot of people wind up at year's end with weighing more than what they started out with on these type of diets. And the biggest flaw in those is they don't address the insulin issue, full on. I kind of relate it to a sunburn, and I've heard this analogy maybe from Charles Pollock once, so I don't want to take credit for it. But if you go to the beach and you just stay out all day, the very first day, and just get blistered, it's probably a good idea to stay out of the sun until that thing heals. And insulin sensitivity and resistance is kind of the same thing. So it's not that eating carbohydrates and eating some of these foods are bad. Like, let's take, whole fruits or, something that I may incorporate, like white rice and vegetables or honey. It's not that those things may be innately bad, but they may be bad for me at this moment. if I'm highly insulin resistant or have that bad sunburn. So just like, you know, I would never say, you know, we need to block the sun from the earth. You know, there's so many good benefits to that, but there's certain circumstances where that may not be the best option at the time.
And I think some of us have to be more, have to recognize more often and have to be more conscious of, about the fact of our insulin levels or being insulin resistant, because I know I'm one of those people. I monitor that with my blood work. And I have to be very mindful each and every day when I start my day and watch what I eat, because I know that I can really mess things up and become insulin resistant.
Right.
And then I, you know, may pick up a pound or two here and there.
You know, and I've heard Ed Jones talk about it a lot, and I'll reiterate it again. Getting your insulin checked via blood work is probably the number one marker for health that I think anybody can do. There again, because it snowballs down to all of the other metrics. You know, if your lipids are, you know, maybe not great, or, you know, your other hormones, your testosterone, your estrogen, all of these things are influenced by insulin. And if that goes unaddressed, you know, a lot of times it's spitting into the wind trying to address these other problems all the while, you know, the big bad insulin's kind of looming overhead unaddressed. So getting an insulin test on next time you go a blood work, that's always the number one thing you can do.
Would you agree that a common mistake is that folks think, well, I'm going to load up on some fruit, a banana, whatever type of fruit for breakfast in the morning? Because
oh, totally.
Doesn't that just sort of sabotage your day?
Absolutely. You know, and the science basically indicates that we all usually wake up and become a little more insulin resistant in the first part of the day. So I've, you know, encouraged people to do that for years, is to eat a high protein, high fat breakfast. And if they're going to eat carbs, let's push those carbs back maybe to another time later in the day, or maybe after a workout when you're the most insulin sensitive, which is means, you know, the cells are going to open the door and let the insulin and the nutrients in. And in the morning, we're essentially saying you have much less of a chance of that happening.
When you say the words high fat, what do you mean?
So there again, that's a complicated subject.
What type of foods?
Honestly, I get most of mine. This is radically different from the paradigm that we've been fed over the last 40 or 50 years. But I did see even the American Heart Association recently has acknowledged that saturated fats and animal fats show no, you know, adverse effect on health. And so I've spent many years running away from, you know, I'll get the leanest cuts of beef possible. You know, I wouldn't eat cheese. You know, I would even take the yolks out of eggs and things like that. But as it turns out, those are many of the fats that are not only, you know, desired, but completely essential. The ones I encourage people to absolutely stay away from that are just pure poisons are the processed vegetable oils. And if you ever hear the term PUFA, which is an acronym for polyunsaturated fatty acids, a lot of the experts will agree that, you know, humans evolved and the healthy amount of PUFAs in our diet would be about 2-3%. I think the average American consumes close to 40% of their total fat intake from these polyunsaturated fatty acids.
And that's why a lot of folks are PUFA'd.
It works out good, right? But I mean, in a very generic nutshell, if you can imagine, the PUFA sends a signal to the fat cells to say, hey, you know, because if you're insulin resistant, the rest of your cells aren't letting the insulin in, but the PUFAs send a signal to the fat cells that say, hey, let the insulin in. And so now you have high insulin and you have a high PUFA diet. If I was going to create a perfect recipe on how to become the fattest person in the world, that would be how to do it. High sugar, high insulin, and high PUFA, polyunsaturated fatty acids. That's a perfect recipe for getting super, super fat. And then conversely, if you want to reverse engineer that, you try to eliminate the PUFAs, try to keep the insulin levels low, eliminate the processed sugar. And that's a honestly, if most people would do only that, you know, they won't have to count a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I don't count stuff. Like, maybe if I'm getting ready for a show, but I've spent this whole year kind of experimenting on myself of not tracking anything. And, you know, I'm pretty, you know, I feel close. I'm in as good a shape as I've ever been, and all the way around. And, you know, it's a lot of effort. So I'm not going to say, you know, don't ever track your macros, but that's probably not the first thing we should do, you know. But, you know, kind of putting some of these other interventions in play. Honestly, most of the clients I work with, once they do that, that's the most they ever have to do. And they don't worry about how much fat and how much protein they get. They're kind of, or total calories. They're kind of just eating when they're hungry. They don't eat when they're not. And they try to stay away from these poisons.
What are some of the common foods, just to name a few, of high-fat foods that you would suggest?
Beef, number one. Good regeneratively raised beef, which is, you know, pastured, grass-fed, the way it's supposed to be. And there's going to be a natural ratio in there of proteins and fats that you get. And the spectrum of essential fats and the fats you want are pretty complete. You know, butters, cheeses, same thing you want from pastured animals. On the plant side, you know, there are some monounsaturated fats in the form of avocados. I use a lot of avocado oil. Olive oil is fantastic. Everybody remember, you can't cook with olive oil, though, because it has a very low heat threshold. So it works well as a topping or a dipping sauce, but you wouldn't want to cook in olive oil. So it's basic stuff.
Do you put olive oil, say, for example, on a salad?
Yes. Yeah. So salad dressings, and that's another, you look at most commercial salad dressings, the number one, number two ingredients, probably canola oil. That's a public enemy number one in the PUFA, you know, realm. So
I've also noticed when I look in the grocery store and I'm looking at olive oil, there's a lot of different types.
Yes.
What do you recommend?
You know, you really got to be careful. There was a big expose a few years ago where they investigated a lot of these olive oil companies, and they were cutting a lot of the oils with canola oil. And, you know, I think the conclusion of that was buy American, because we have some pretty strict standards. So a lot of olives are from California. So if you see a product that's from extra virgin organic, hopefully from California, that's probably decent. And then at specialty stores such as Nutrition World, you know, I'm sure Whole Foods and places like that carry the top of the line brands that, you know, you can be a little more confident in. But I would tell people to steer clear of just your run of the mill olive oil that you see on most supermarket shelves.
So maybe like where it said, when it says 100% virgin oil.
Yeah, extra virgin, you know, preferably from California. I think most grocery stores you can find a product that fits those. And also you want to be conscious that it's probably in a dark glass container, because olive oil is very susceptible to heat and light, and you have to assume these things have been shipped on trucks and been on pallets for a while.
Yeah, good point. Well, I wanted to share with our listening audience just a few tips and suggestions that you had regarding health and nutrition. And it all, at the end of the day, that's half the battle of building that that lean, muscular body that many people listening to this podcast are out there trying to do.
Right. And I've said this many times, I love training, and you know, I'm always excited to train. It's kind of my recreation, so to speak. But when you break it down, even if I train 1 hour every day, that's only 7 hours out of the 168 available hours in the week. So these other elements, they seem, you know, like minor deals, and you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to them, but they're worth looking at, because that's what's going to consume most of the rest of the time, is being mindful of these other factors. And so the people that wind up being successful, they kind of put all these things together along with, you know, solid training. And, you know, that's what gives you a chance to hopefully become your best, you know, whether you're competing or not.
If you're someone out there listening and you would like to seek more information from Matt, health, nutrition, bodybuilding, he has a business called what, Matt?
It's called The Train Station, and we're in Hickson, Tennessee, which is just a few miles north of downtown Chattanooga. You can see us on Instagram. I'm Matt Davis, IFBB Pro. My wife also works with me at the train station, and she is at Figure Jewels on Instagram. And then, of course, Facebook is just Matt Davis.
All right. And, of course, reach out to them if you have an interest. They can certainly change your life. Well, Matt, coming up on the next Chattanooga Fitness Expo download, we've got a another great guest scheduled. We're not going to share who it is yet, but we've got a lot of great plans, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Also, too, we encourage you to find us on Instagram and on Facebook. On Instagram is Chattanooga Fit Expo. That's Chattanooga Fit Expo. And been pretty active on Instagram. So follow us on Instagram and check out what we try to keep posted there on our social media. All right. We want to thank you so much for joining us. We're coming to you from the Vascular Institute of Chattanooga Studios.
Rock 105, your home for Pennzoil Racing Radio.
Presented by Vascular Institute of Chattanooga.
Every Monday at 6 p.m., join Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr for the latest news in NASCAR. And, well, some other craziness. Could Jimmy Johnson win another NASCAR championship in his final season? Who are these new young guys in NASCAR? Tune in to Pennzoil Racing Radio on Rock 105.
Presented by Vascular Institute of Chattanooga.
Check out our website, PennzoilRacingRadio.com. Built by Avalon Design Studio.
That does it for this edition of Chattanooga Fitness Expo Download. Continue to listen to our podcast as we'll be bringing you more great conversations, guests, and topics in the world of fitness, health, and bodybuilding. Go to your favorite podcast platform, search Chattanooga Fitness Expo Download, click on the subscribe button for all future podcasts. For Matt Davis, I'm Sean Whitfield. Take care of yourself and each other. Thank you for listening.